Well, thank the Lord tonight for the wonderful peace that He gives to us and the strength to carry on and do the things that we need to do and have to do. But thank the Lord for that sweet peace. I think the third verse said we rest in His peace. And we can rest in that tonight. And I know our hearts are saddened. But it makes us to realize, makes us come to a understanding that life is short. Life is brief. Doesn't matter how long we live, when compared to eternity, it's very, very short. And what we do, we do in our time that God allots to us and gives to us. Turn tonight in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12, and we'll begin reading in verse number 28. We mentioned this morning in the message about some questions that were asked by the Pharisees and how they were trying to trick the Lord, and how that the Lord asked them a question and they could not answer it, and so therefore they didn't ask any more questions from that point on in that particular passage. We come here tonight to a few verses, and there's another question that is asked of the Lord. And the Lord answers it, and the response of the centurion, the response here of this man, is very heart-tugging to realize how close he was to the things of the Lord. And I want us to think tonight upon the subject that heaven is near. It's closer maybe than we think. But he is dealing here with this, one of the scribes that came, and later on one of the Pharisees, and another passage of Scripture that we look at, a lawyer, and they're very close to the same passage. It may be the same thing. And tonight, reading in verse number 28 of Mark chapter number 12, says, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, this first of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." The scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Here we find the Lord tells this scribe that comes to him, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Really what he was telling him, he was very close to understanding. He was very close to coming to a knowledge of what salvation was all about. This scribe realized that Jesus had answered the question correctly, as he did any question that was asked him. And he said, "Well, you've answered the question there in the verse there, verse, I can't even find it now. There's none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and He's Lord of all." And he, speaking to Jesus Christ, Jesus understood and knew his heart, And so he told him, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Really, he said, you're not far from believing. Now, some of the Bibles, and Scofield is one of them, that makes a comparison here in this chapter to Luke chapter number 10. And in verse number 25, the scripture says, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And there's a question that the Lord answered with one of the parables that he gives, and it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so we find that the scriptures relate to each other, but this particular verse in Mark tells us that this man was very close to heaven. He is very close to the kingdom of God, or getting into the position where that he could go to heaven. And we find that when you study the subject of heaven, we know it's a real place. The world may mock and the world may despise the thought of heaven, and they may only talk about heaven in an abstract way, but it's amazing how people that have no thought of heaven, when their friends and loved ones die, they always go to heaven. And they're always looking down upon us, and I've made mention of that many times. But I'm glad tonight we know where people go when they die with the Lord. They go to heaven. Not only are they coming close to the kingdom of God, they're in the kingdom of God, and they've been transported into the very presence of the Lord. And heaven is far away for a lot of people, but heaven can be very close to us tonight. We do not know. When Clarice left Bud last night, she told me a moment ago, she said, I didn't think that would be my last time to be with him. And Bud was close to heaven and didn't know it, and she didn't know it. Only the Lord knew that, but in his sleep, the Lord ushered him into his very presence. You and I tonight, the news could be out for us in the morning. And before the night is over, we could also be in the presence of the Lord. But I'm glad heaven is not only a place we go to that we can make a trip to, but heaven is a place that we can experience here upon this earth. And we can get ready for heaven. We can make all the preparations for heaven, but we don't know when we're going. And so tonight I want us to just think about how close heaven is to those of us that are born again, how close heaven is to the living. And there's some things that God has given us. There's some privileges that he has given to us that gives us a little glance or a little feeling of heaven. And we thank the Lord for that. If this man and the man in Luke is the same man, they both went away. He went away trying to justify himself. And he said, well, the scripture says to love my neighbor, but who is my neighbor? And the Lord gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And of course, that's a pure picture of salvation, a pure picture of who Jesus Christ is and what he does for people. But I want us to realize tonight that heaven can be here upon this earth some for us. We don't have to just wait for it. We don't have to wait to pass from this life to eternity. But God's given us a little bit of glimpse into the things of the Lord, and heaven is very close to us, sometimes closer than we realize. I believe heaven is close enough that we can, we have the little phrase sometimes that we say, would you please touch heaven for me? And in that phrase, we're talking about prayer, to pray for and to intercede and to have a communion with the Lord in our prayer life. And the Lord can come down and make us realize that we're in his presence. And I'll tell you what, we're in the presence of the Lord. That's a little bit of heaven. When in the presence of God, that's the presence of Him that brings to us this thing called heaven. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." That's the seeking, the looking forward to, the knocking upon the door of God that He might open His presence to us. And Jesus said, if you ask, it shall be given. You seek, and you shall find. If you knock, then the door is open. And so I'm glad tonight that we can seek the presence of God. We can look for it. We can ask the Lord for His presence. And I believe we can find the presence of God. And that's a little bit of heaven to you and I here upon this earth. I'm glad God hears our prayers. I'm glad He does not have a deaf ear unto us, but He hears, and not only does He hear, but He answers, and He gives total, complete answers in the way He deals with us. God promises His prayers. Our prayers are answered, and the innumerable prayers that we have prayed, no telling how many prayers have gone up for individuals and people through our lifetime, and I'm glad God knows them. He says He has a bottle for our tears. He understands the needs that we have, and God provides His answers to us, and thank God His answers are unfailing. His answers are always right on time, right on target, and He promises us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so heaven is just a prayer away. We can go to the Lord, and we can go into His very presence. He asks us, and He really commands us to come into His presence. Paul says that we're to come into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. And so how far is heaven from us? All we have to do is bow our hearts to God and bow our knee to the Lord, or bow our head and ask God's blessings and His presence upon us, and then we know He is hearing us. And we may not be there literally, physically, but we are there in the very presence of the Lord. The throne room of God is not closed. It doesn't have a locked door. It has an open door. And He invites us to come, and He tells us to bring our burdens and bring them to Him. And so when we whisper a prayer, when we speak a prayer, when we think a prayer, however our method of praying is, sometimes we pray out loud, sometimes we pray silently, but it doesn't matter who hears us. We know God hears us, and He brings us to his very presence. And so therefore, we're close to heaven. Tonight, when we bow for prayer, God opens his heart and His ears. When we bow in our closet, or when we are in our place of prayer time, I'm glad the Lord is there to let us know. And I've had the Lord speak to my heart while praying, and in doing that, we know that we are in His presence, and He is with us. And so when Jesus told this man, He said, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." He was telling him, He said, you're very close to becoming a believer in the things of God. To love the neighbor, to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your spirit. And this scribe said, "Master, you have spoken truth." And Jesus in return said, "You are close to the kingdom of God." And so thank the Lord tonight. One day we got not only close, but we got in. We got into the very presence of the Lord and trusted Him and called upon Him. He saved us. And so therefore we can have His presence throughout all eternity. Whenever that might happen, whenever that might be, then we are in His presence, and heaven is not very far from us. The second thing, I believe we find a little bit about heaven when we look into the Word of God. This book we have tonight is not like any other book. This book is real. It is alive. And John chapter number 5 and verse number 39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them Thank God we have eternal life. In these words that are before us tonight, we have a copy of the Word of God. We are privileged more than many, many people in this world tonight to have a copy of God's Word. And we can read it, and we can learn about heaven, we can learn about life, we can learn about the process of life, we can learn about death, and we can learn about eternity all out of this book. And in looking into the scriptures of the Word of God, we and searching those scriptures, it shows us there is a land that is fairer than day. The song we sang tonight, In the Sweet By and By. One of these days it's going to be sweet for us. As I said this morning, Brother Bud's more alive right now than he's ever been all of his life in the presence of the Lord. To have the joy of knowing the very essence of who God is, and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about our loved ones that's gone on before, sometimes we almost get to the point of being jealous of what they are experiencing, of what we want to experience, what we desire. I believe every Christian, every believer, we desire to see the Lord. We desire to see the very essence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't ever get in your mind that Jesus is a spirit in heaven. He's not a spirit. He is in a body. And he was taken from this earth in Acts chapter number 1. They saw him leave. And Jesus, as he left, he said, I'm going to come back the same way. And so if he's coming back, if he left in a body, and he's coming back in a body, he's in a body right now. So heaven's not a place of people just floating around like spirits and ghosts. Heaven's a real place with real people, and more real than you and I are tonight, and more alive than we are tonight. And we learn that out of God's Word. We learn that out of the scriptures that show us the beauties of heaven. The Bible gives us the blueprint for salvation. The Bible gives us the blueprint for serving Him, for having Him as our Lord. He tells us how that we are to be obedient to the command of God. So we can go on our knees and pray, and a little bit of heaven comes down. I've been in prayer meetings sometimes that the prayer meetings were a lot better than the service. I've been in prayer meetings where you knew the glory of the Lord was there, and the presence of God was there, and you just knew God was in your midst, just simply by uttering a prayer and getting a hold of God and having the the attitude of praying to a God that we believe and that we know, and He's in our heart, and we serve Him and we love Him, and so our prayer goes to the Lord, and He takes even our groanings. Those things that we cannot speak, those words that just will not come out of our mouths, and we just groan before the Lord, and He takes those, and He takes them to the very foot of the throne of God, and we learn all of that out of this blessed old book called the Word of God, this book that we hold so very dear, and the world holds it up and mocks it and makes fun of it. The world says it's out of date and out of step and just out of time with where we are. But I'll tell you what, the most in-step book is this book right here. The most timely book is this book right here. The most knowledgeable book is this one that we hold before us. I take, it's amazing to me that even all the different translations, and some of them are so perverted, some of them are more perverted than others, but you can take the worst translation of the Word of God and you can find the gospel. You can find the message of salvation. So the Lord has given His Word, and we have the pure Word of God before us. Man tries to destroy it. Man tries to tear it down. Man tries to water it down. But even in that, God has the preeminence, and He has the ability to show forth who He is, even out of the perversion of man. So the Bible is a blueprint for life. The Bible is a blueprint for living and dying and for heaven. And so when you look into the Bible, we have a little bit of heaven. You read about the street of gold. You read about the pearls, and you read about the decoration of heaven. And Paul says we haven't even imagined, haven't even come close to understanding all that is waiting for us as a Christian. And so our prayers show us heaven. Our Bible shows us heaven. And I'm glad, thank God, our Christian brothers and sisters show us heaven. Those whom we love in the Lord and those whom we know are in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, or Luke writes it in Acts chapter 20, Jesus said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a wonderful thing to have a Christian that's a friend. To have a friend that you know is going to be with you and be right towards you and give you right instruction. We can cry on each other's shoulders. We can shake each other's hands. We can fellowship together with each other because we are of the same family. We are the family of God. Years ago, there was a song written, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad tonight that we have a great big family. It's not only Americans, it's every nationality, every language upon this earth. There are people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can depend upon them for praying and serving. Paul's hands ministered to the saints. Ethiopian eunuch cried for help, and he got help because of the strong hand of a believer. We all have needs. We all sometimes become very helpless, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get in our minds that we're hopeless. But thank God, with the Lord, there's no hopeless situation. There's no one beyond reach, and there's no one beyond the reach of God. And you and I tonight, as a believer, it's very important to others that we show forth a little bit of heaven in our life, that we show forth a little bit of the blessing that God has given to us. And so this man that wasn't far from the kingdom of God, physically, I'm glad I'm not very far from his heaven spiritually tonight. We can go to him in prayer. We can can have that attitude of prayer in our heart. We can look into the Word of God and thank the Lord for friends that love the Lord. Friends that we can talk to and rely upon and depend upon. And that brings a little bit of heaven toward us. Then the fourth thing is, I believe a little bit of heaven ought to be in the house of God. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, turn over there just for a moment, a very familiar verse of scripture. But in Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 20, look at verse number 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, this is a Jewish terminology. The book of Hebrews is written to Jews. And so I believe Paul is identifying some things about the Jewish religion. And he talks about something they know about, and that entering into the holies. And you and I tonight, we don't enter into heaven by the blood of bulls and goats, and we only enter in by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse number 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, though the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Here's what we are to do as a believer. We're to draw near to the Lord with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What he's talking about there is salvation. Let us draw near to him, and we have the assurance of our faith our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with the water of the Word. Verse number 23 says, let us, not only do we draw near, but now we hold fast the profession of our faith. We're to be unshaken in our profession of faith. Know when you get saved. Know the details of salvation. And so Paul tells these Jewish believers, these Hebrews, he says, draw near to God, full assurance. And of course, he's dealing with the subject of faith. Then we hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then he says in verse 24, let us consider one another, provoking unto love and to good works. We're to encourage each other to live for the Lord. We're to encourage each other in the house of God, that we are to provoke each other. We're to encourage each other in the work of God. Let us consider one another. And then verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There are some people that don't assemble themselves together. And you know he's talking there, when you talk about assembly, talking about church, talking about going to the house of God. So he says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of our God is approaching. The day of the Lord is approaching. And the more we see the closeness that we are to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more we ought to encourage one another to stay in the battle, stay in the fight, stay in the work of the Lord, provoking one another to good works. And so the stability of a house of God, it should be a little bit of heaven to us. The church is a lighthouse, and the people need to see the light of the gospel. The church must have stability in doctrine and direction. We need to know what we believe, why we believe, why we go the way we go, why we do what we do. We ought to be stable and have the stability in our devotion unto the Lord. Sometimes we say it's just not worth it, but it's always worth it to serve God. And we encourage one another, and in that, I believe we have a little bit of heaven that comes to us. And then the last thing, I believe when we make a step to the altar, not necessarily for salvation, but as a believer, the Lord enters the presence of His people, and we understand. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 20, David was fleeing from Saul, as he was so many times. David comes to Jonathan. And Jonathan, of course, the son of Saul, was a very close friend to David. And David says to Jonathan, what have I done? And he's really asking, what have I done to make your father so hate me and be after me to destroy me? And Jonathan answers him in 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 2. He says, God forbid. Jonathan couldn't believe. He says, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but he will show it to me. Jonathan said, if he wanted to kill you, I would know that. But David says, and he goes on and says, why should my father hide this from me? It is not so. Jonathan was rejecting what David was saying. But notice, in verse number 3, David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, and I've used this little phrase many, many times, I even used it in a funeral, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. David realized Saul was trying to kill him. And David said, there's just a step between me and Saul doing what he desired to do. But you'll find that David goes to an altar. David prays unto the Lord and God delivers him. I'm glad the altar is a place where we can meet the Lord. It's a place where we can have fellowship again with the Lord. It's a place where heaven can come down. We've seen altars filled. We've seen tears on the altar. We've seen the expressions of people that come with a contrite heart. And we've seen people get saved. Heaven comes down. So you and I tonight, as a believer, we don't have to wait to go to heaven. I believe God has shown us a little bit of heaven while we're here. The world denies it and rejects it, but you and I know that heaven is real. How sweet, how joyous it is to know that we are a child of God. And what a pleasure it is to be able to stand and to know that one day we shall go to be with those that have gone before us that was in the Lord, those that were believers, and one day we'll see Him. I believe the first face, the first person we'll see is the one that made it possible for us to be there, and that's Jesus Christ. I know we sing about, we talk about, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this and do it. You get to heaven, we're going to worship the Lord. We get to heaven, we're going to be in the very presence of that one that made it possible for us to know Him and pardon our sins and make us a free person. And John says, we're free indeed. Have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm glad also that heaven can come to me, that heaven can make its expression in our lives, in our hearts, and we can be an encouragement and help and show what heaven really is all about. I'm glad, thank God, for heaven. I'm glad for the God that gave us the ability to believe and to trust, and one day we'll go there and we'll meet our loved ones. I'll see my mom and dad, and I have a grandmother that I know is over there, and there's some in my family I don't know for sure, but there's some I know for sure. And when we get there, we'll see the Lord, but I believe we'll also see them. For the Scripture says we are known there as we are known here. And I believe we'll know each other and the love that we had for each other. Of course, life will be different. There's no problems, no sin, no sorrow over there. The land of no more is where we're going. No more death. No more dying. No more hospitals. No more doctors. No more everything that we go through. Thank God heaven is just really, really close. As a believer, it's one breath away. That's how close we are to eternity. Let's stand together tonight.